Thanks for staying on Astro Awani. You're watching Notepad with me, Ibrahim Sani. We're part of doing a segment called Pantau Kerajaan Baru, or the monitoring of the new government. Here we're looking at day two of the parliamentary session. There's a lot that needs to be unpacked, but of course the Dewan Rakyat parliamentary sitting is done for the year. Tomorrow is going to be the Dewan Negara sitting. And of course, many of us are trying to unpack on what has transpired over the past 2 days. Dr. Raiz is back here in the studio with us yet again, here to unpack some of the items that need to be discussed. Dr. Raiz, yesterday we were talking about some of the ideas on enough of the politicking, enough of the political operatives operating either in the dark or in the cabinet or out there in the open. Right now we need to talk about policies and policies and the actionable items that surround it. When we ended the conversation yesterday, you were talking about how there are some 7 items that were outlined in your op-ed when it comes to the things that the government must do. Where do you feel these policies lie? And perhaps you can recap with us some of the items that was rather critical for us to exemplify on.
Thank you for having me again. Essentially, post GE15, we saw the outcome of the election, and people are reasonably differing in their views, perhaps a little divided as well. So I think the main thrust, the one of the first major thrusts in the innovation agenda of Anwar Ibrahim must be fostering of unity and understanding. I think this is very critical. I mean, politically, you can have differing views. Ideologically, you can have differing views. But once dust is settled, elections are done, appointment has been done, we need to move on. Mm. And we need to go back to our drawing board. How Malaysia was founded. Malaysia was founded on the basis of all race, multi-ethnic, multi-religion, staying together, working hand in hand, and develop this country for greater future for all, for the many. Mm. I think this is something that Anwar Ibrahim's administration must focus a lot. It is just not creating a cliche or creating buzzwords and all that. No, there must be a very concerted, coordinated strategy and policies, actionable policies. I think a lot of the time we have beautiful blueprints and PowerPoint engineers. You know, there are PowerPoint engineers who come and been paid for just creating PowerPoints. But we want something that is actionable, something that has outcome and impact to the society. I think to borrow a little bit from the Scandinavian ways of doing things, even Singaporeans' way of doing things, input, output, outcome, impact modeling. In every sense of the word, every ringgit spent must have the outcome and impact to the society, not to the politician, not to the political party, not to the Setiausaha Sulit Kanan, not to the, you know, all these people. So I think there must be a huge change, paradigm change in this. So first, unity and understanding, without which there will be continuous bickering. And anything, everything that harms the unity and understanding must be stopped, because we cannot allow such people to sabotage the unity and understanding of the Malaysians. Come close second is, I talked about a little bit yesterday, radical transparency and good governance. I did allude to IOOI model that the Scandinavian countries and Singapore use quite a bit and successfully. I think it is not wrong for us to evaluate and adopt this, making sure that there will be a good transparency, a radical transparency. Why I use the word radical transparency? Because we have been so radically non-transparent.
Yeah.
So we need to come back to the look at the ship that was paid for, but there's no ship, and so many other things, right? So we want a proper, and the good news is that Anwar Ibrahim, in his first or maiden speech as a PM, no more direct nego. No more close standard.
Yeah.
I think this is a good step in the right direction, but it shouldn't stop just there. It should not be a novelty. It should not be speeches. It should be shown in introduction of real policies within the government procurement system. Digitize it. Right? So these days we have AI-enabled procurement system.
Yeah.
Why don't we start exploring that? I think these are the things curbing costs.
Yeah, well, before we jump into further elucidation of your ideas, do you feel that these kind of statements is an afterglow or an after effect of somebody who just took office and somebody who just earned a vote of confidence in the parliament? Do you feel that there's some earnest in terms of the things that he wants to do? And more importantly, perhaps the earnesty is there. The issue here is whether the person can actually execute it. In this sense, Dato' Sri Anwar can execute it. Can he do it? Can his cabinet do it? Can the 148 MPs do it? Where is the scepticism here? Do you feel that this is something or an extraordinary moment, or it's just one of those moments where politicians say the right things at the right time?
Anwar has been consistent on fighting for the poor, fighting against corruption.
Mm.
He has been very consistent since the varsity days, since his University of Malaya days.
Mm.
So I think in terms of his sincerity and earnestness is going to be there.
Mm.
The challenge is, how is he going to bring about, given the things that he has inherited among the civil servants, among the existing GLCs, and the structure that is there, and the cartels that he has inherited.
Mm.
Cartels exist everywhere. It is just not the cartel daging, there is cartel cartel, what is that, Gran. Even Gran has a cartel, no? So it has its own Gran ecosystem with Gran Prunos, and so there's massive
Gran Prunos. How
yes,
about
yes,
that?
Yes, yes. So there are massive cartels operating in a very tick the box governance ecosystem. So it's not going to be easy, but I think the vision is there. The mission is there. He needs the right team. So the team that he has. He has got with him are capable. I think some of the notable ones like Rafizi is there.
Yeah.
This man has taken a lot of heat.
Yeah.
And at personal cost.
Expense. Yeah, there
yeah,
you go.
Personal cost,
yeah.
Fighting corruption and everything and so on. So I think, he needs a formidable team.
Yeah.
Now he has a strong, formidable and convincing number. So now he needs a strong, formidable,
you know,
convincing people and team who will be able to help him. Does he have that? I think he has. He just have to... Now he's just clearing the path one by one, right? So he has done with the appointment as a PM. He has done with the parliament, with the confidence vote. He has done the speaker appointment. And next, I think he will go... he has done with the cabinet. Yes, cabinet is a congregation of... people to reflect that Anwar administration, so to speak, because it's a combination of coalition that formed the government.
Yeah.
So now he needs to go to the next level, which is the GLCs and so on, where it is hoped that people who have the right skill, knowledge, abilities, academic qualification and experience with integrity. These six criteria is very critical.
And of course, it seems like a tall order, to be honest. And to ask of that from the entire cabinet, even more so. What do you think of that?
I agree, but it is not impossible. I believe that given some time, getting right people at the right position will look at Anthony Loke. He became a transportation minister, and what he did to the MRT, the escalators are working. I'm still holding him to the promise that he made about the cabotage policy. I hope that will be revoked. Why?
Yeah.
Because that will allow us to attract good quality FDIs next year. FDI is an area that we need to really work very hard. Why? I think for ages we've been attracting low quality FDIs, low wage FDIs, and it's not the high tech, high value FDIs. I think Rafizi put it very clearly today in the parliament that he talked about digital transformation as one of the value-add economy, high-value economy that this administration will be taking on. I think this is excellent. I think this is what we should go. As we speak, there's something called digital Kunta Kinte. What's digital Kunta Kinte? For those who have not watched the movie Roots, they may not understand, but digital Kunta Kinte, we become a slave to the digital economy. If you look in Malaysia, for instance, large chunk of our shopping online is done on the three platform. That large chunk of it, more than 80%, Shopee, Lazada, and Alibaba, and that shows outflow of our currency.
Mm.
And also, yes, our products are there, but our products are not as competitively priced or functionally equipped as the foreign products. So I think we need to have a clear digital policy. This is just on the retail end. What about the other end? So we have lost out.
Okay, there's also that whole element of the investing in the right sectors. Semiconductor industry, we're there, but we're not in the higher end of the supply chain. We're not in the designing of the chips. We're not in the integration of the fabrication of the chips. We're more on the downside of the supply chain, which was fine for 30 years ago or 20 years ago. Companies like Inari Emerton, for instance, I'd like to bring that up because 5 years ago, they were about RM2.30. Today, after 5 years, it went up and down and everything. RM2.40. Not much difference in terms of market capitalization after 5 years. All the other companies in the semicon industry, same thing. What I'm trying to elucidate here is that capital markets is not giving the kind of buoyancy or investment returns in the telco sector. Sorry, in the technology sector. Telco sector, same thing. Not much movements there. All the other sectors, not much movement. Oil and gas, many more. And then Sabah Dynamic ni pun satu hal. It's going to be delisted very soon because they failed to produce their, what do you call this, annual report. Where are we in terms of domestic direct investment, capital market injection, and let alone foreign direct investment?
I think our stock market, unfortunately, is known to be as a boring market.
It's a sleepy market.
Boring market.
Yeah.
And therefore, does not attract the right type of institutional investors to come in.
Or even retail investors.
And at one time, there was huge political instability. And at least now we have done with that away. So we
are you alluding to
stability.
Dato' Najib case?
During the Najib times, then immediately after that, Tun Mahathir's time, there was some level of stability. But then what happened in 2020, then Ismail, then now, finally we have this administration. So my view is this. Telco industry, for instance, why is it so sleepy? Why is it so? Because there's no excitement. There's nothing. You have something called 5G, very exciting technology, but it was handled in a way that is the most unexciting way, by creating a
single wholesale network through DNB.
Yeah, it's a single wholesale network model, which is failure in rest of the world. And
just to mention, the countries that did roll out single wholesale network were Rwanda, Mexico.
All failed, including the recent two most failed miserably is South Africa and Mexico. South Africa even went bankrupt, so the government have to take back. So that model will not work. Why don't we see...
somebody like Fahmi Fazil, he has his work cut out against him, right? Because...
true. Well, Fahmi was totally against this single wholesale model at one time.
Mm.
Now he's a minister. Let's see what he does. But coming back, when you want to do something, you go and follow the successful model. You don't follow the model that failed. What's the successful model? South Korea. How did the South Korea does? Do you need 5G in Kampung?
No.
If you look at South Korea, they went 5G in the industrialized area, in the like a special zone, industrialized zone. And that's where, because there they need IoT enable, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So the 5G came
in.
So that's how they did it. And they did it through what? Auctioning the spectrum, this and that. All private money, nothing to do with government money, right? Now, what do we do here? Here, we say that it is a DNB, it's a MOF-owned, not people's money, but it's guaranteed by the Ministry of Finance.
But then there's
many
other stuff,
so,
and golden share, you know, that kind of thing.
So, and if DNB fails, who will take over? Again, it's the people's money.
Let's talk about personnel, right? Because Ministry of Finance, big job. Prime Minister, big job. Two different set of skills that are needed. One needs to be looking forward, unity. Another one is literally counting the beans for the country and people like you and me. Can somebody like Dato' Sri Anwar pull this off under the same hat? We've seen how this has failed. Under Najib, we've seen how this might not necessarily work too well under Pak Lah and later on, before that, Tun Mahathir.
I think Anwar's administration must take note from the past experiences, right? Of course, we do not have the flux capacitor to go back in time, but must take note.
People don't know what that is, Dr. Raiz. We have young viewers here. Flux capacitor is Back to the Future reference.
Yeah, but having said that, I think the Anwar's administration understands and would appreciate the experiences that they've seen in the past. So you must appoint the right person with the right skill, knowledge, abilities, experience, academic qualification, and integrity at the position. Now, if that can be done, 50% of the job is done.
Yeah.
Now, coming back to like why telco is sleepy, it's because of that. There's no excitement.
Strange. When 5G is shouting and at the ability of the promise of it.
Yeah, but they talk about digital divide. Boss, you don't need 5G in kampung area. You need 3G or 4G in kampung area.
Stable 4G.
Why would they want 5G?
Yeah.
And you have something called Universal Service Fund or something like that, which is the MCMC is having. Mm. And that can be used to make sure the digital divide problems by extending the 4G network there. Cheaper, much, much cheaper. This is billions, 5G that they are earning. And obviously, Anwar was right that the DNB 5G has to be relooked carefully. I think that's a right move. And you can still tweak if it's need be now.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think these are the things that make the stock market less sexy. Why? Because you control everything, right? You don't let the players like Maxis or Cellcom and all these people to do business.
Yeah.
Let the business be in the hands of the business.
I absolutely agree. Regulation. And you just tax everything out of the companies.
And the argument by the 5G people, I mean the DNB people, is very simple. Then, kampung area will not be covered. I'm telling you, 5G is not needed in kampung area, village area. All 4G is needed. And then, when you give the spectrum, make a condition. Say, for instance, Maxis applies for 5G spectrum. Make a condition. This is what you need to do. Yeah. For instance, extend 4G in rural area.
Yeah.
And then,
condition precedent.
Must
condition.
Be the conditions. Yeah, yeah. Now, if you fail, revoke.
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah.
So, instead of doing what a regulator should be doing, bringing in regulation to regulate the need, you start getting involved in the business.
Yeah.
So, what happens? Market doesn't get excited.
No.
So that's why.
That's what happens when government becomes businesses.
So I think the business of government is not in business.
I agree.
They should exit and then focus on what they need to do. My worry about this foreign direct investment is a big problem because more than, there was about 80-90% of the investment that came to ASEAN, we only had about 6%
of the share.
And that's very, very small. And usually, we'll be number one, or number two at least.
Mm.
Singapore will be high, but Singapore has the financial sector investment.
Mm.
But here, Malaysia usually number one or number two.
Mm.
Now we are behind Singapore, Indonesia, Vietnam. And I just hope one day we are not behind Laos.
We've seen or we've heard the announcement by Anwar saying that, say, for instance, the two deputy prime ministers that we have, one takes care of disaster, for instance, and the coordination between it. Another one is on development. Dr. Fadilah is needed in terms of the urban-rural development bridge cross divide. It's been tested. We've had the Batangkali incident. The NADMA came about. The inter-ministerial coordination, in my view, is not as up to par as it was sold to be. Do you agree with this kind of view or statements?
I think inter-ministerial function is very, very critical. And some of the things has to be improved, obviously. The Batangkali incident shows that almost all ministers go there, you know, show face, this and that.
No, I mean, the Prime Minister has to come up with a statement, don't come here.
Yeah.
Let the search and rescue people do their job.
Right. So I think, this is just a few weeks or months into the Anwar Ibrahim's administration.
Yeah.
They are still trapped in the old photo opportunity.
You
remember there was a minister
it
who
is
went,
a disaster, people die, children has died.
Right. So you remember there was a minister who went on a boat filled with his friends and social media team and a flood area and then taking photos and so on. whereas that boat can be used for to rescuing the people. So I think it is still work in progress. I think this inter-ministry is very important. I'll give an example. Like in Singapore, there's only one agency which looks after the digital economy. Only one, right? Now in Malaysia, how many? Five? Six? You have MDEC, you have My Magic or something, then you have Technology Park Malaysia, you have Futurize, you have, I mean, I don't know, maybe it's more than five or six. Why do you need so many of those? What you did is, this is, when you talk about digital economy, it cuts across all verticals, right? It cannot be.
It is an enabler, not as is, that is it.
So it cannot be, to my mind, just like what happens in, for instance, in Padamani, in Estonia. I always quote Estonia as an example of digital economy because they are the they rank one of the highest in the digital economy, right? Yeah. And their ministry is Ministry of Digital Economy.
Yes, I agree.
They don't have a Ministry of Economy.
Yeah.
So likewise, maybe
because it cuts across all.
Yeah. So
functions.
maybe the digital space should be affixed to the Ministry of Economy, or given the circumstances that Malaysia has with all those 20-something ministers, maybe should be parked under Prime Minister's Department.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Because it cut across all verticals. Yeah. Kalau tidak, you will start...
attention.
If you don't do that, if, for instance, first you consolidate these five, six agencies under MDEC, for instance.
Yeah.
And then MDEC should be parked under Prime Minister Department.
Or whatever the function is.
Why? Because it cuts across all verticals.
But the same can be said about other sectors as well. Food security.
You know,
agriculture and food security, I see that now, the connection of it. That's one area. Another area is on climate change.
You see, food security is my favorite subject. Now, in Singapore, they have something called Food Security Agency. Mm. Prior to Anwar's administration, we have the Ministry of Agriculture, something like that, right? I had some conversation. I was sitting in that advisory council. And food security did not even have an agency then, no department, no unit, no nothing, right? But we know there's a critical issue. That time we were facing the chicken issue, right?
That time, now more.
Okay. Now, at least the awareness that food security is very critical.
And it's there in the job title.
In the job. Now, that's the cosmetic. And score, what next? So I strongly urge the government to look into forming a food security agency along the line that in the most Scandinavian country and Singapore. I have to mention Scandinavian country first. Yeah. So masalah. If I say Singapore, tak berapa, you know. So
I don't know. If it works, it works.
So food security agency, which has inter-ministerial responsibility, because they determine where is the land availability.
No, but I can argue the same thing for, say, for instance, climate change, because you want to build, you want to have development, you want to have disaster relief center, you want to have disaster relief function. Hey, all of this come together
under DATMA.
Yeah.
So the thing is, at the end of the day, the infrastructure or system that has been inherited by Anwar's administration is the previous one.
Unfortunately.
The old one. So now, they really, I think people like Rafizi will be able to do quite a good job.
Yeah, but only so much. We are reforming a country. Yeah, I mean,
but
who has legacy issues.
But let me tell you, when Morsi became the president of Egypt, he became a president and after getting rid of Hosni Mubarak.
Yeah.
But what he did? He started fighting with everyone. He started fighting with the military. Yeah. He started fighting with
the
police.
And now we have CC.
Everyone, right?
Yeah.
Okay. When he did that, we must know in Egypt, the military rules everything. They control the bakery, which is the bread, which is the bread and butter for Egypt, and electricity. So they created trouble, short supply of bread, frequent power outages. What happened then? Essentially, people revolted. So the idea is not to fight with everyone. You've just taken over the administration. So I think the most important thing that Anwar must do, and also Anwar Ibrahim's administration must do, is that to engage constructively. look, we cannot be doing the same thing over and over again
yeah.
and expect a different result or yeah. a different outcome.
Yeah.
People are suffering. Our resources are not infinite.
Yeah.
It is finite.
Yeah.
And we need to be managing the resources prudently. So moving forward, this is the way forward for this country. We must have a vision. Japan, they came up with the Society 5.0. What a fantastic vision that they had.
Yeah.
So Malaysia too, we have the Malaysia 5.0. Belum lagi di apa ni kan, war-warkan.
Gambur-gamburkan,
but,
yeah.
But the thing is, these are the direction that we need to take on. So I think we have good people in the present administration. I think they are sincere, they are honest. Some are new. I did tell you that I received a text message from a minister who said that this is the first day I'm in the parliament and it is very scary.
It is daunting.
And I said, well, just be calm, cool, be factual as always you are, as impeccable as you are, and do not be like them. Do not go and yeah. join the shouting
yeah.
match.
Yeah.
And be factual. And always remember, at the back of your mind, it's not the party, it's not you, it is not anything else. It's the country and it's the people. If you think that way, I think the engagement in the parliament will be a little bit more robust, knowledgeable, and solution-driven.
There you go. What a way to end. That was our conversation with Dr. Rais Hussein, the CEO of Emory Research. You can find plenty of reading materials as well as Knowledge Center on their website. Just search for Emory Research. You can also find many of these conversations here on all our platforms, on Astro Awani platforms. My name is Ibrahim Sani. Catch you in the next one.